Nita Cox, Pablo Torre, Frank Isola. How good was the match?
Not bad.
Best sporting event.
Sporting? That's what I'm trying to go with. Sporting. Sporting events you have when you're in quarantine. That was my SB voice. Whose ever idea was for trash talk over the phone, brilliant. And the shots some of these guys pulled out of everywhere, neither rain nor seam of pants could stop it. Tiger and Peyton won the event. But Frank Isola, around the horn to you. Who won the day?
Come on, Tony. We once again were reminded about the charm life of Tom Brady. Here's a guy that still has a day job. Not like he's not retired like Peyton Manning. He doesn't play golf like Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. He goes out there. Yeah, maybe he's embarrassing himself for a while. But when all is said and done, all we remember is the approach shot that he hit for birdie. So even when he's not at his best, he still wins the day.
That is such a quintessential Frank answer. Even if I embarrass myself for 29 minutes of the show, as long as
day.
I get one good zinger in, it's all right by me. Mina Kimes, who won the day for you?
I do not agree about Tom Brady. I was going to say, I think Bucks fans win because they know their guy is focused on football, not golf. He is not leaving his sport anytime soon. I would also go with Tiger Woods, right? Last time we heard from him, he was dropping out of the Players' Championship back in March, saying he was going to come back for the Masters. I believe him based on what we saw. Obviously, the Masters have been postponed until the fall, but he looked incredible, driving accuracy on point. I'd also go with Charles Barkley and Justin Thomas, who did a fantastic job. And I think that's relevant now because as sports come back without fans, announcers need to step up their game. And as much as I would love to have Charles commentate everything, we can't, but I think people can learn from his energy.
All right, Pablo Torre.
But that is why I think Phil won this. It's because he is the only guy who assured himself of a second career after this. Phil Mickelson, in contrast to Tiger Woods, Tiger said nothing at all. Phil Mickelson was breaking down how awesome Phil Mickelson was, and you were like, this guy would be really good at broadcasting golf, even if, on the other side of things, yes, Tom Brady did literally and figuratively show America his entire butt, which I appreciated, too.
Back to Phil, though. That is what I'm talking about. I heard him say that a couple times. And he also focused on the Cavs, which I think is a very good. I'm here for all Cavs talk. Frank Isola, you want more on Tiger? You can go.
Well, I thought it was interesting. First of all, he did look good. He looked a little thinner than he usually does. I thought it was interesting that he kept quiet throughout the match. It was almost like he didn't want to engage Charles Barkley. Brady was not worried about it. It was almost like Tiger Woods. I'm not going to say anything that this guy might say something inappropriate about me. I'm not going there.
It's almost like, yeah. What, did you think there were some skeletons in the closet there? Is that what you're trying to
exactly.
say, Frank?
Not going there.
Honestly, my expectations were maybe lower than everybody else's. I was saying things like, I want them, for a tiebreaker, to have them throw passes to each other. See if the golf guys can catch a football. But this worked for me. This really did work for me. Pleasantly surprised. And it raised money for charity, which is a good thing. All right, we move on. Let's talk sports now. NBA. We may be having something here, right, Frank Isola? The Disney World model has potential. The restart date for late July. But also, let's talk about Shams Charania's report in The Athletic that the NBA surveyed all GMs to see what they want to do with the restart. And here are the four options. One, 16 teams directly into the playoffs. Two, all 30 teams directly in. Three, you finish the season through 70 games. And four is a playoff plus is what they're calling it, a play-in style tournament to determine seeds. So of those four options, Frank, what do you think is best? And what are you hearing?
As I give my answer, I want Pablo and Mina to sing It's a Small World After All as we're going down to the Disney complex, which, by the way, is an unbelievable complex. I've been there for a lot of youth sporting events. The one thing that I'm worried about, I'm going to have the 16 teams that are currently in the playoffs. That's all I'm going to bring down there because I think it's easier to control it. Number one, you have had a legitimate regular season as it is. Remember, Tony, 99, it was a 50 game season. Everyone's played about 63 to 67 games. I do not like the idea, though, of seeding 1 through 16. That's too much of a gimmick. You eventually want to do that? I have no problem. I'm not changing on the fly right now and have a first-round series, Nets versus the Lakers. I'm still having East versus West.
Pablo Torre, what do you think of a 16-game tournament right now? What do you think of 30 teams in with a little bit of a play-in or the other options?
Yeah, the 16 seeding thing doesn't bother me because I think part of Adam Silver thinks never let a good crisis go to waste. And is this a thing that we could implement in the future? For me, I think there is zero tribal affiliation with the Eastern and Western Conference at this point. So if they want to sort of pilot this program, I'm all for it. But with all due respect, Tony, to our conflict of interest here, I just love that in the NFL, you win the Super Bowl and you say, I'm going to Disney World. In the NBA, you win the finals and you say, I am getting out of Disney World as quickly yes, I can.
All right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Nina Kime, if you could bring it back to the basketball here, please.
I'll do my best. I don't have a problem with the reseeding. I don't think there'll be much to learn from it going forward, right? Because the issues there are ones of logistics and travel. None of that is relevant here. My preference, what I think they should do, is just go straight to 16. I love the name Playoffs Plus. Makes you think there's going to be more leg room and you get to choose a snack from a snack box. But I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze. You know, the risks you get from an additional round, bringing in those teams. Like, I would love to see Zion Williamson in the playoffs, which it kind of feels like what this would be about. But ultimately, does it really matter? The last time an eighth seed even made it to an Eastern Conference, a conference finals, was the Knicks in 99. It happens so rarely, I don't think it's worth it.
But that, again, was a season where there was a little bit of a pivot on how they were doing it because of the shortened season. Frank, you wouldn't be game for a Nets-Lakers first-round matchup?
Tony, here's the thing. If you look at what's gone on with German soccer being back on television, the golf from yesterday, NASCAR, the ratings are such that you don't have to gimmick anything up. Why experiment now? The season's already been nutty to begin with. Just play it like it's supposed to be played. Then in the offseason, you want to decide, we're going to do away with conferences. We'll just have the best records make the playoffs. I have no problem with that. I think it's unfair to Milwaukee because guess what? They probably have to play the Clippers in order to get to a finals. Why all of a sudden are you changing the rules like that?
What are we hearing as far as how this will play out? Is it still best of seven series, or is it a shorter series? Are they playing it every day from 3 o'clock to midnight? And what are you hearing, Pablo?
Well, it seems like there is an ongoing deliberation, right? It's telling that these are surveys of GMs that then get leaked, which tells me that maybe there are preferences in New York in the league office. But in terms of what this is, anything is possible. And I imagine, Tony, that Adam Silver is mostly prioritizing, let's just have this happen without interruption, without an outbreak. And so does that mean straight to playoffs? Maybe that's the way they ensure that easiest of all.
I've heard everybody say, oh, then there'll be an asterisk on the season. I think just the opposite. I'm anti-asterisk on all things. But I'd say this is a more challenging season to put it together. And that you actually may have the best team win it all this year. Because you have the same amount of time to start up. But at that point, everything's up in the air. Let's just play it out. I like that. All right. We've been horned right here. We're going to take a break coming up. Well, it appears Lance Armstrong is not here to make friends. Last week after Jordan, you were thinking, okay, so aggressive, such a self-centered point of view, and Lance Armstrong's like, hold my syringe! If there are no students on campus in the fall at Michigan, there will be no football for Michigan. That's straight from the mouth of the school president, Dr. Mark Schlissel. Doctor as in MD. Pablo Torre, what are you buying? What are you selling?
I buy, Tony, that there's some stuff you left out in that CV there because he's also a professor of microbiology and immunology, which is a real tough roll of the dice for a Michigan football fan. We have a president and he's an immunologist and all we want is football. But listen, there are scientific and philosophically difficult issues here because there's the medicine of it, but also the if there is no college. Can you have college sports? And what does that say about the whole enterprise, right, of student athletes if they're not actually students, even vaguely in a pretend way at this point?
That seemed to be the prevailing thought about a month ago. Do you feel like that's changed a little bit, Mina Kimes, that some schools think we could have football even if the school's reporting online?
I do feel like it's changed, and I'm selling the backlash to his comments as a result. Paul Feinbaum told me last week that he feels as though college football right now and the sentiment around it is like a stock market. It's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. You're right. Not even a month. Weeks ago, what he's saying, that it'd be weird to have football without students, that was the consensus. Now, it's spurring backlash. And my only takeaway from that is maybe we should all wait a little bit before forming like aggressive opinions about what to do or what not to do, because the thoughts on this seem to be changing week to week.
So you believe there's still time to think this over? Some are saying we need to know by June 15. You believe there's time? They can get it up and going.
I do.
Frank Isola, how about you?
Very interesting. We have a president of a major university that's concerned about education and the health and well-being of the student body. Where did this guy come from? Mars? What is he talking about? This is big-time college football. I do believe, Tony, that in the South, and you think about the way the country kind of views this pandemic that we're in right now, it seems like in the South, football is going to start on time. I can see in other parts of the country where maybe they won't have football. I know we still have a long way to go, but the president right here is kind of warning you about it.
My question then is, can you have a Big Ten without Michigan? Or can you have, you know, some of these Power Five conferences with only 80% of the conference playing in the games? Hey, I'm not going to name other schools. Who knows what other schools? But the idea that, yes, we're going to crown a champion, but our league only had 7 of the 10 teams in it. It's an interesting dilemma going forward. We'll move on. Buy or sell to Lance Armstrong. Lance F. Armstrong. Can you imagine the cigar Jordan is smoking right now, seeing this documentary follow-up his? I was worried. I wasn't going to be likable. Wow, look at this guy. Pablo, do you find yourself accepting Lance's version of things, or are you still having a hard time considering who he was and who he seemingly is?
I accept his presence in my home. I really enjoyed watching this. I appreciate that he acknowledges that he lied, I believe, as he said, over 10,000 times in his life, a reversion on the Malcolm Gladwell pop psychology thing. But the thing about Lance is that he is a compulsive liar, man. Like, yep. Maybe the most top-end compulsive liar in sports history. And so if he acknowledges that, I can get with it.
Mina Kimes?
I'm accepting what he said last night, which is that doping was incredibly prevalent in cycling. What differentiates him from those other cyclists is how he handled what happened next, the incredibly toxic behavior. And that's what I'm curious to hear him talk about, right? Because that is the tension here. It's not that he doped. It's how he treated other people afterwards.
And that'll be episode 2. Frank Isola, yes. What are you hearing from Lance?
Yeah, he really blew it. He just should have blamed Scottie Pippen for all of his problems. But I'm, you know, if you look at Lance Armstrong, he's not really a redeeming character.
Wow.
He's not someone that you really can root for. He cheated, so it's been tough to watch.
Man, Frank, you are just take an extra point bonus here, Frank, for the shot at Michael Jordan at the gun here, and that'll be it. Mina Kimes, a smile and a wave. It looks like a Pablo Torre, Frank Isola showdown next, where we talk about the most socially distanced residents on Airbnb. Blue Wahoo Stadium. The Washington Nationals did not have the Zoom ceremony they planned. They opted to wait until humans could actually gather together. But they did at least unveil the ring, and it had 108 diamonds. It had the curly W, and then the inside has the baby shark, which is, of course, their team mascot for Gerardo Parra's walk-up music. How does it ring to you, Pablo Torre?
That feels like an earworm becoming a ringworm. I am not in favor of the baby shark insignia. I am the father of a daughter. I'm not there yet, but I fear it already. I fear it, Tony. I don't want to get to that point.
No, you fear shark attack. I got you. How about you, Frank?
It's a gaudy ring. It would work perfectly with Pablo. That's what he likes to wear. Why not have a meatball in the ring somewhere, a diamond that looks like a meatball? Because that was the pitch that Joe Kelly threw to Howie Kendrick. That was the biggest moment
Now you're really trying too hard, Frank. Take a mute here. Point, Pablo.
That was the best moment.
But you're getting it, Pablo. You're getting the shark attack. It's coming. Violet is already queuing it up on iTunes. We'll move on. Showdown 2. Look at this, all right? Pensacola Blue Wahoo Admiral Fetterman Field is up on Airbnb. 10 beds, 3 baths. You have full field and clubhouse and batting cage access for the night, all for the total of $1,500. Can I check you in, Frank Isola?
Oh, I think I might do that. It's not the Oakland Coliseum where rats are running around and the sewage is backed up. Why not? It's a beautiful night in Florida. Sleep out on the field. Why not?
But read the fine print, Frank. There are 10 beds and 1 large bedroom. You always got to read the fine print on these real estate listings. Yeah, family, right. And then you have a security guard there hanging out to help you, really?
I'll say this. This was a dream of mine when I was a kid, you know, camp out on the field, getting the batting cages all night. But now that I'm an older man, Pablo's getting the point. Read the fine print. Move on. Let's stay in the real estate, though, okay? You both are familiar with New York real estate. Well, Noah Syndergaard has a very public dispute with his landlord. The $27,000 a month apartment in New York he never moved into because of the pandemic and because the season was delayed and because he had Tommy John surgery. He actually said to the landlord, "See you in court, pal." He got to use that expression. Pablo, do you need to hear both sides?
I don't need to hear both sides. Noah Syndergaard, by the way, should consider how much lawyers cost. So yeah, maybe not worth it in the end, Noah.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Pablo lives right next door to Noah Syndergaard. What are you talking about? You're the only one that can understand $27,000 a month for rent? Yay, yay, yay.
What did Tommy John surgery have to do with not being able to move? I don't get that one.
He's looking for sympathy.
Pablo Torre, FaceTime.
I am a solutions-oriented person, Tony, so I want to give a free solution to the programming void that continues to plague sports. Let's combine The Match and The Last Dance. Let's have The Last Dance reunion show as a charity golf tournament. Let's have Scott Farrell and Scottie Pippen and Charles Barkley and Horace Grant and Sam Smith and everybody warring with Michael Jordan settle it in this whole natural territory.
That's what we do need, Jordan playing golf. But you're right. The pizza delivery guy. Get the police pizza delivery guy.
Yes. All five of them. All five of them.